I wonder how your seasonal preparations are going this year. Perhaps you could see which of these you can tick off your list. Have you done your Christmas shopping? Have you ordered your goose? Have you popped down to the market to pick up your tree? Have you so read, marked, learned, and inredigested the Holy Scriptures that you might be conformed by the Holy Spirit into one mind with the faithful in praise and glory of our Lord Jesus Christ, and that you might embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life? Not quite got round to it yet? Me neither. Perhaps we should back up a little. In 1570, my colleague Thomas Drant preached a sermon on preparation for the coming of the kingdom. In it, he cast aspersions on the divines at the Sorbonne in Paris, saying that those clerical academics were so drunk so often that they must have been weaning themselves for the new wine of the kingdom of heaven. I'm contractually bound at this point to add that that does not sound at all like the deans and chaplains of any university that I know. However, it does again pose this question. How should we go about the season of Advent? How should we be preparing ourselves for the coming of the kingdom of God? In addition to being used by the clergy up and down the country to exhort the faithful to read the parish notice sheet, the collect for the second Sunday of Advent, which we've heard today, tells us how to use the scriptures, and particularly these scriptures set for today. They are a guide to hope. So let's have a look at them. Our epistle tells us that the former things that have been written, the words of the prophets, were written for our learning, and that we, through patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. Hope is hard enough in this mortal realm in which we trudge along, let alone for something else entirely, something miraculous. It all seems a bit academic and a bit ethereal. But our hope, I would argue, is born out of a promise and a pattern which is rooted in history and means something real today. History saw the first coming of Jesus Christ as the son of a provincial carpenter. God made man, made human, showed us that we all, in our humanity even, can be conformed into the Godhead. It's something that our priests do in Holy Communion when they stand in the place of Christ at the table in a particular way and communicate God to humanity. But more than that, it's something we all do in the world in a more general way. It's something we'll do next week at the fete. We stand in the place of Christ and point to God, pointing to hope, the end and beginning of all things. And there are just a few things here which we can take comfort from. Firstly, that Jesus Christ took on human weakness and made it meet together with God, which is pretty hopeful for us lot. Even no-hopers like me, because of this grace, can offer this ministry. And all the people of God are called to the same. The scriptures also remind us that this message is Catholic, that is, it is for the whole of humanity, no longer just for a wandering nomadic set of tribes. God came that the Gentiles, that is everyone, might glorify God for his mercy, as we heard in our epistle. Which means that we stand as a witness to our hope in Christ. We don't only show our mates and the people we like, but everyone. We are, as the Nunc Dimittis puts it at Evensong, a light to lighten the Gentiles. It's not a hope to be put under a pot, but it's to be shared with the world. What are we doing here in this collection of old stones and timber? We and this church are here to stand as a witness of hope to everlasting life. However, and this is important, our hope isn't mere escapism. We're not waiting for the last spiritual chopper out of Saigon. Our comfort is also for now. Our hope for this life does not lie in a vaccine or a lockdown or a gentle mutation, the current virus, though we do pray for our medics and leaders, knowing whose authority they have. Our hope is in the Lord, the giver of life, the Spirit of God, which will raise us up at that last day. But that same Spirit, which we read in our epistle from Paul, will bind us together in love, making us unified of one voice to praise God. And that love is what can transform this realm and prepare it for the coming of that greater reign, that the world will be conformed into the ways of that other kingdom, whose ways are those of gentleness and all her paths of peace. And it's in this dual hope of the resurrection and of the Spirit of God inhabiting us now that we rejoice and glorify God, not in misery, like Lent is sometimes wont to do, but in joyful expectation that by the bond of love, the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, we might be grafted into the root of Jesse, who came and will come again, to whom with the Father and the Holy Spirit be glory and dominion. Amen.